ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय In the verses preceding text 8, which will be the verse of today, Raghunath Das Goswami has described different created realms and their superior position. He has said that beyond this world is the Vaikuntha world, higher still is the Dvaraka, where Krishna enjoys wonderful pastimes with his thousands of queens. But still higher than Dvaraka is the place of his appearance or his birth. And in Dvaraka, in Mathura, there is a special glowing jewel which is called Braj. Then he has reasoned why Braj is so special. It's because there are these very special pastimes in the higher rasas with his cowherd boys, and finally there is the very delightful pastimes in Sringara rasa with the gopis, who are expert in the art of joking and smiling and laughter. I was just today reading one of these jokes. Tungavidya is with Radharani, and she sees how in the distance Krishna is there, and his friend Madhumangal puts a golden color champaka flower garland around Krishna's chest, and Tungavidya finds this so beautiful. But she also makes a little joke. She says, look how the best of Krishna's friends is putting a golden flower garland around Krishna's chest. And she begins to laugh, because often Srimati Radharani has been compared with a garland of champak flowers. So Radharani is immediately reacting to this joke, and she says, Tungavidya, you have no culture. Do you think every girl in Braj is like you, who wants to hang around the neck of that son of Nanda Maharaj? And they both laugh. So he has spoken about this, and now he goes on something which is very important for those who wish to stay in an ideal atmosphere of Krishna consciousness. He goes in his mind through the different holy places or pastimes places of Krishna in Vrindavan, and glorifies each one of these places. I have read in Srila Prabhupada's lectures where he says, if you can't stay physically in Braj, then you should stay there in your mind. He himself is an example of doing it. In New York, he was once asked by a normal American lady at a challenging question, are you here, Swami? Are you with us? You know, almost like a challenge, like we will say, be here now, don't be spaced out, you know. Now, are you here with us, Swami? And Prabhupada said, no, I'm always in Vrindavan. So this being always in Vrindavan is possible through this part of Vrindavan meditations, which we will hear now, starting with text 8, about different places, different personality of Braj. Let us read text 8 now. Yatra Shri Parito Brahmat Yavaritam Tasta Mahasiddhaya Spita Shishti Alangavang Udayani Vasopi Gosto Kasam Vatsalyat Paripalito Viharate Krishna Pitipriyam Sukhais Tannandishvaramalayam Brajapate Goshtatamangam Bhaje. I worship Sri Nanda's home at Nandishvara Hill, which is near to the best among pasturing grounds. In Nandishvara, Kamala, the goddess of fortune, is always present like a maidservant, and the 8 mystic perfections are also always staying there in their personal forms. The mountain has specifically appeared for the benefit of the cows. Nandishvara is the most blissful place of residence for the inhabitants of Braj. Here, Sri Krishna always enjoys pastimes with great ecstasy while being affectionately served by his father and mother. So, Raghunath Goswami goes here in his mind through the land of Braj. And because of his ecstasy, he has many, many realizations. I just read today a very nice point which Srila Vyasadeva makes. He says, when in the monsoon time, creepers and flowers rise from the ground, you can assume that there were seeds of the creepers and the flowers there before. Now, when the rain comes, they are nourished and they come out. So when a devotee shows ecstatic symptoms as he goes to the holy places of Krishna's pastimes, you must infer that this ecstasy was already in the heart, and it is now where he hears about Krishna, it's now coming out. This is also a point which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami makes. He says there is Krishna prema in seed form already in the heart, and if you flooded with Shravanam, Kirtanam and Smaranam, then these seeds come out. What this means really for us here in the month of Kartik is that somewhere deep inside of us there is a buried treasure of Krishna consciousness, and during the month of Kartik we are trying to make that manifest by hearing about Krishna, his pastimes. And that's why I personally think this book, Braj Bilas Stava, although relatively small, is a very important monsoon shower of sweetness. It will help us also to, let us say, to see how in our hearts a great appreciation for Vrindavan bursts forth, because let us not forget the seeds of love of Krishna are already there. So let us now see what Raghunath Goswami manifests from his heart as he is remembering one place of Krishna's pastimes, that is the hill of Nandishvara, where the palace of Nanda Baba is standing. His first point is that in Nandishvara, the goddess of Lakshmi constantly roams around. In the Bhagavatam, this is described in relationship to Krishna's appearance in Braj. At that time, it is described that Nanda Maharaj gave charity in abundance. He gave fine clothing and good golden ornaments and many cows to the cowherd boy, men, the cowherd men, and the brahmanas. He gave up in abundance. Take. Then he gave in abundance charity to the singers who sang at and danced at Krishna's appearance in Vrindavan. You know, he was very, very abundant. And as Parikshit Maharaj, who is also giving charity, he has given charity, he was the emperor, is hearing all this, Parikshit Maharaj must have made a list, you know, from his experience. My God, if he gives to all the people cows and ornaments of made of gold clothing, I mean, from where does he take all this wealth? He is only the leader of one village, really. He's a village leader. You know, where does he have all this Lakshmi from? It's almost as if Bhadra Prabhu at the end of Kartik will give cows away to all the Brijbasis and feed 1 million brahmanas, you know, and then give golden ornaments. You know, we would think, Bhadra, you are a very rich man, or have you maybe stolen this from the treasury of the Indian government? You know, we would develop a question: where does he have all this Lakshmi from? And so Shukadev Goswami answers this question in 10th canto, 5th chapter, text 18. He says, O Parikshit Maharaj, he addresses him, O Parikshit, the goddess of Lakshmi took birth there with Krishna. Sukadev describes, O Maharaj Parikshit, the home of Nanda Maharaj is eternally the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His transcendental qualities, and is therefore always naturally endowed with the opulences of all wealth. Yet, beginning from Lord Krishna's appearance there in the home of Nanda Maharaj, it became the place for the pastimes of the goddess of fortune. And you must know, there are descriptions that Nanda Maharaj had so much because Lakshmiji was there. The Brahma Sanghita says, Chintamani prakara satmasukalpa briksha lakshavriteshu surabhiya abhipalayanta. It says, I worship Govinda who dwells in houses made of cow dung, of Chintamani gemstones, which are surrounded by desire trees. He is served with affection by hundreds of thousands of Lakshmi, Lakshmi Sahasra. So Nanda Maharaj used this tremendous wealth every morning by opening his treasury and giving to every needy person who came. There were some beggars who were so poor they wanted to have milk that they didn't even have a pot for milk. So they came to Nanda Maharaj's palace, and Nanda Maharaj gave them a pot, a container, and then filled it with milk twice. he personally stood at the gate and gave of his palace and gave charity to everyone who came, because he felt, let my son Krishna be benefited from my charity. This is how he felt. So much love. And I think Raghunath Goswami will describe this a little bit. Nandishwara is so special because Krishna is bathed there in the love of his mother and his father. In the Brahma Sanghita we hear how a devotee's attitude is towards all this wealth. The devotee of Krishna is really not so much interested in this wealth. I have once heard that I think it was Bhakti Chaitanya Swami who is studying very much about the pastimes of Krishna and has always very good information. He said that although there are kalpa chintamani stones, that is, stones which can transform ordinary metal into gold, the people of Braj use this as door stoppers, you know. And some of them they put as, you know, as wooden pegs, you know, in their shoes. There are these shoes which are close to the foot, because it has one wooden peg in the middle. It has one peg. I think it's a Chopati fashion that the devotees have there some shoes which have this peg which is between the big toe and the next toe. Huh? So the devotees use the Chintamani stones for this purpose. They are not interested in wealth. And also the Kalpa Briksha trees are not, they don't go there and ask, oh please, Kalpa Briksha tree, give me a new bullock cart, you know. Or no, they just, if they go at all to the Kalpa Briksha trees, I heard they wish for items with which they can serve Krishna. So the next point Raghunath Das Goswami says is that this mountain has a specific service. It appeared just to increase the opulences of the cows. What this means is that Nanda Maharaj had 900,000 cows. That's a lot. And he needed good fodder for the cows. So Nandishwara Hill is producing this very nice grass which the cows can eat. I think you all know that Brahma and Shiva once wanted some special service of Krishna. And Krishna said to Brahma, you with your four heads can become Vashana, the four mountains of Vashana. And Shiva, you have one head, that's good enough. You will become Nandishwara. And since that time, Shiva serves Krishna as Nandishwara Hill, and also in other ways, and he protects the holy Dham with his expansions as different protectors of the holy Dham. I know that in Radhakund there are four prominent Shiva Linga posted at the four directions, and they protect the Kund from any possible bad influences. So this Shiva knows how to please Krishna in the best way. That is by pleasing his devotees, the cows. If you want to please Krishna, you have to please the devotees of Krishna. So Nandishwara gives soft and good grass to the cows of Krishna. And then the last point here is Sri Krishna enjoys the parental affection of Yashoda and Nanda. That's if you want to get Krishna's special mercy, you should always address him with the names in relationship to his parents, because his parents love Krishna so much. You can call him, for instance, Srinandanandana, Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda. Or, you know, when Lord Chaitanya turns to Krishna, wanting special mercy from him to be delivered from the ocean of birth and death, he addresses him by one name, you know, Nanda Tanuja, you who are born out of the body of Tanu means body, and Ja means born. You are born out of the body of Nanda Maharaj. Because, please listen very carefully, Krishna really so much enjoys the affection of Yashoda Nanda. It's beyond description. It is said in psychology that when a child has received abundant affection of mother and father, he becomes mentally very strong. If he has not received so much affection of mother and father, he is not so strong mentally. When Krishna first made his entrance into the ashram of Sandipani Muni turned afterwards, you know, they introduced themselves. They said, "We want to learn from you, Sandipani Muni." Krishna Balaram introduced themselves. So afterwards, Sandipani Muni turned to his other elderly students and people around and said, "I can see these two enjoyed the affection of their mother and fathers because they are very strong." I think in our Hare Krishna movement we have seen many young people coming from dysfunctional families, and we can see they are often a little shaky in their character. But Krishna Balaram, say had Yashoda Nanda Maharaj. Then you will hear now a little bit from Bhavanasala Sangaha, a little bit about the affection which Krishna enjoyed from Yashoda. There's a description how Purnamasi arises with the first chirping of the birds from bed to see Krishna. Very eagerly she rushes through Nandagram, and there she hears loud sounds of the cows calling for their calves. It's early in the morning. And she also hears the chanting of Vedic hymns by qualified brahmanas. And it seems these sound vibration, the cows calling, woo, woo, no, how do they call? This moo, you know, not like the monkeys go like whoop whoop. Yes, they call for their calves. It's very loud, moo moo, but also the chanting of the Vedic hymns. So Purnamasi doesn't pay much attention to the village where everyone gets up, but she immediately goes up the stairs to Nanda Bhavan, where Yashoda is already informed that Purnamasi comes, and Yashoda, out of respect, greets the Purnamasi. "Oh, venerable ascetic lady, you must have come to see my gem-like boy Krishna. He's still sleeping, but come with me in the bedroom." So there Yashoda and Purnamasi see Krishna adorned with gems as he lies peacefully on his soft bed surrounded by his loved ones. There are a few special cowherd boys there and you know, all those who love him are there and looking at Krishna. Isn't that an affectionate scene, you know? we wake up alone, you know, we know, because no one cares for us, and we smell in the morning bad, you know. But Krishna is waking up surrounded by his loved ones, and everyone just looks at him. Yeah. Then Yashoda notices that Krishna wears a blue cloth on his chest and asks, why has Krishna given up his yellow cloth for a blue one? Now those of you who are knowers of what Krishna did in the evening, they know what is the reason. I will not relay the secret here in public, because it's also not discussed in public in the morning hours. Yes, it's a secret. So Purnamasi thinks very quickly and thoughtfully, and then she says, oh queen, there's nothing to worry. Krishna has yesterday exchanged his yellow cloth with Balaram's blue cloth. It must be from Balaram. So Hare Krishna, I will require, yes, good light. Otherwise, everything else will remain a secret. Now, then Yashoda is pacified. Oh, yes, it must be like this. And she softly strikes the body of Krishna with her soft fingers, while tears of joy come from her eyes as she looks at Krishna, so peacefully sleeping. Then she notices that there are some bruises on Krishna's body, and those who know the secret why there are bruises, they know it. I will not relay it. And she thinks immediately, it must be that these boys are so rough. They always wrestle so tough with my little darling boy, and they hurt him. And then she says to Purnamasi, these boys are too tough. And then she very softly whispers, oh Lala. That's the name she gives to Krishna. Oh Lala, sometimes Kanai or Kanaya Lal, quickly wake up and show your lotus face. So Krishna begins to stir a little bit in the bed. Then Purnamasi sees a third suspicious sign. Krishna's cheeks are colored red from betel nuts. And she quickly says, oh Madhava, it seems the reddish glow of your ruby earrings is reflecting on your cheeks, which resemble emerald mirrors. Krishna quickly gets up, what? The red stains. And takes his lotus hand and quickly rubs off the red stains. He has a secret to keep. Then, all of a sudden, in this loving scene, Madhu Mangal stumbles in. He's totally groggy because he just got up. And he shouts, hey, hey! And he's still stumbling. And he sees Krishna somewhat sleeping and says, Krishna, get up! Your friends are already down in the court. And they are calling for you when you are coming for the cow herding, and you are a little late, Krishna. So Krishna's eyes look very beautiful as they repeatedly close and open. It is that Nitra Devi, the goddess of sleep, is very reluctantly leaving these eyelids because she fears the separation from Krishna's eyelids. So therefore, Krishna's eyes open and shut like that. Then he slowly sits up on the edge of his bed and he gently places his lotus feet on the ground. Then he yawns in a faltering voice and addresses Purnamasi, "O noble lady," and he again goes like, "I offer my respects to you." And this Mother Yashoda is totally delighted after all her boy is up now, and she touches Krishna with the palms, and she has learned from some brahmanas a mantra, and I will see if maybe our bhakti, our Goswami Maharaj knows this mantra. It's Avad Dayongrim. Avad Dayongrim. Does it say something to you at this moment? Angrim, maybe? Avyadayongrim. Not at this moment.
Means be protected.
Be protected. Yes, it is something. And angry means limb, isn't it? Angry or angry? Foot. Oh, yeah. But this is a good indication. And she touches with her hands the different limbs of Krishna. Maybe starting with the foot, or I'm also not a Brahmin, Vedic mantras, and she looks upward and says, "O Almighty God, after many days, you mercifully gave me the sun. I don't know the proper process of worshipping you, but I'm saying this mantra somehow or other. Please protect my boy." You know, he says, just see the love of Yashoda's mother. She touches every limb of the body and says some mantra, you know, because everyone has to say a mantra for these things, and so on. So this is how Krishna Balaram wakes up. Now they will then go to the cowherd sheds before taking their shower, and they will milk the cows. This is the very first milking which Krishna has to do, because the cows have spent a whole long night without Krishna's presence and feel so much separation that they only allow Krishna to come. You know, they want him to do the first milking. And so Krishna comes, and then afterwards he wrestles with the cowherd boys. So Yashoda doesn't like that Krishna wrestles so much. And she says to Balaram, "Balaram, Krishna always wrestles, but you know, he always wrestles too long, and he doesn't know his limit, and he will be hungry. So you wrestle a little bit, because you're boys, you have to wrestle, but then you quickly bring Krishna for his breakfast." And then Krishna intervenes and says, "Mother, you can trust me. You don't have to speak to me through Balaram. You can die. I will die. I have understood. I will come quickly." And then Yashoda, just see it, the love of the mother. She places a small golden milking pot in Krishna's right hand, because the milk has to be carried, but not in a big, just a small golden milking pot, and she gives a rope as brilliant as lightning in Krishna's left hand, because he will need it to tie the hind legs of the cows, so that while Krishna milks, the cows don't kick. You know, so this is before I remember my mother also loved me very much, and every morning there was a ritual to first of all get me out of bed. Morning hours are not my strong hours always, so she had to get me out of bed in the last minute. Then I remember as I was quickly eating some grains, she made the school bag ready. You know, it was a little thing like this, and you know, I remember it was, and she put all the pens in there and the notebooks and so on and so forth. And then when I was very small, then she said, now you go to school, here is your Schulranzen, they say in a German language, and you quickly go on your way. And then she called me back, we have forgotten something, a handkerchief, you know, to blow your nose on the way, you know, need that also. And then mother would just always give the things which the boys need, you know, and then they go, because the boys will forget everything. So Mother Yashoda loves Krishna so much, she gives Krishna a golden pot for the milk in his right hand and a rope in his left hand. So and then Krishna goes off, and there are more pastimes. So let us again, with these informations which we have heard, go through the text. I worship Sri Nanda's abode at Nandishwara Hill, which is near to the best pasturing grounds. In Nandishwara, Kamala, the goddess of fortune, is always present like a maidservant, and the eight mystic perfections are also staying there in their personal forms. The mountain has specifically appeared for the benefit of the cows. Nandishwara is the most blissful place of residence for the inhabitants of Braj. Here, Sri Krishna always enjoys pastimes with great ecstasy while being affectionately served by his father and mother. I could not speak about the service of Nanda Maharaj because of talking about Yashoda so much, but at another time we will hear about Nanda Maharaj in great detail, and that will give pleasure to your heart. So in concluding, I wish to say, as you are here in Vrindavan, don't try to see Vrindavan with ordinary eyes. If you try to see Vrindavan with ordinary eyes, you will only see a dusty village in Uttar Pradesh. Try to see Vrindavan through the eyes of the scriptures and through the eyes of our great devotees. Then, if you are seeing Vrindavan in such a way, Vrindavan might open up its treasury. See, in Vrindavan there are two aspects of the Dham. The Drishtaman Dham, that is the Dham how you see it with your eyes made of material elements, and the Adrishtaman Dham, the Dham which is not visible. Or to make it even more clear, the Prakrita Dham, that which is manifested, and the Aprakrit Dham, that which is not manifested. And since we are spiritualists, we follow the instructions of the Rig Veda, that our eyes are always directed to the spiritual world. There is this one mantra, a very famous. Yes, that thank you, Maharaj, that the great rishis or the great brahmanas always have their eyes fixed on that paramang, that supreme dharma, that spiritual dharma. And this is really what you can practice by going through Vrindavan. When you go through on the path around Govardhan, you can see the Govardhan of the spiritual world, because there is a direct relationship between the Boma Vrindavan and the spiritual or the Aprakat Vrindavan. There's a direct relationship, and you can learn this mantra, or you can learn to apply this Rig Veda mantra. How was the beginning again, please? Om Tad Vishnu Paramang Padam. Yeah, that Sada Pashyanti Yatsurayaha. Sada Pashyanti. Always they see Yatsurayaha, like the rays of the sun which come and go back to the sun. They always see, from here to there, to the spiritual world. That is what we must practice. We have lost our Vrindavan Vasa, our Vrindavan Dham, the moment we see the Dham with material eyes. Then you know you lost it, and you have to bring it back to that vision of transcendence. God, we have all had a full day of sadhana, of spiritual practice, and the day has come to an end. I think it's very nice that we all are on our own ways through the day, and we come briefly together, but it should be brief, because tomorrow we again have to rise with the chirping of the birds, and even earlier, some of us, and we will then do our different services throughout the day, and if Krishna wills, we will all come together for text 9, where we will extensively hear about Sri Nanda Maharaj, the king of Braj, who daily pleases. There are some great surprises what he daily does, and whom he pleases. And Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Braj Bilas Dava ki jai. Sri Raghunath Das Goswami ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari 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 Bol.